Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's Word. We want to take this opportunity to invite you to a special series of lessons, a gospel meeting that begins today and runs through Friday, October the 14th. Our speaker will be Brother Tom Rainwater from New York, and he will be speaking at our regular times of services today at 10:20 and at 6:30 this evening, and then every night this week, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be welcomed. We want nothing from you. We'll take no collections. We don't want your money. All we want you to do is come with an open Bible and an open mind and study the Word of God with us. Please, come out and be with us this week. You will be edified. We want to continue our series together that we've been talking about for a few months in why we're members of the Church of Christ. Today, we want to talk about the indispensable need for man's change of heart in order to be one of his children. A religion that does not touch and change the inner heart of man is not a religion given by the Lord, nor is it found within the pages of God's holy word. The heart is the spring from which all action flows, according to Matthew 15, verse 19, and the words of Jesus himself. All sins are first committed in the heart of man. If the heart is kept pure, one's life will be pure. Does this make it plain that a change of heart is a necessity to one's conversion to Christ? Some believe that we deny this to be true, yet this charge is made because of a misunderstanding that exists in how this is accomplished in one's life. The Scripture of God cannot be blamed for this confusion, for he is not the author of confusion, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. The teaching is quite plain and comprehensible, as we will see in this lesson. The twofold nature of man. The term heart is defined as a seat of life in Proverbs 4, verse 23. We're told to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The heart is not the vital organ of one's body, which serves as a blood pump for the blood circulation in our human physical bodies. Have you ever seen someone pound themselves in the chest and say, "I feel it right here"? They misunderstand the dual nature of man. We're not talking about the literal physical heart that is in each of us, that pumps blood to our bodies. The inward man is the one that is the one that we cannot see, that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 tells us. And we also have an outward man, as we read in 2 Samuel 18, verse 14. When the heart of the inward or the spiritual man is pricked, the outward man is untouched. In Acts 2:37, after the first gospel sermon, when they had heard this, the scripture says they were pricked in their heart. What does that mean, that they were pricked in their heart? It means that they were touched. They were convicted. They were convicted of their guilt. What pricked that heart on the day of Pentecost? What caused that reaction? What caused that question to be asked? When man's human heart is pricked, the body of sin dies or has an opportunity to die. The gospel touches the inward part of man, and it is what gives him the need to see that he needs God in his life, and he needs to change, and he needs to obey that which he has heard and that which he has believed. Now, how is that accomplished? Well, let's analyze it and how the heart is exercised. The heart of man is that part that has intellect. Intellect that thinks, according to Matthew 9 and verse 4. It's the part that reasons, according to Matthew 2 and verse number 8. It also understands, according to Matthew 13 and verse 15. And it believes unto salvation, according to Romans 10, verse 10. And so man has intellect. He can think. He can use his heart to understand, to listen to evidence, to look at testimony. He can reason. He can weigh it all out. He can look at it, examine it, and he can understand what that evidence suggests and what it is saying. And then he has an opportunity to either accept what he's heard, accept what he's reasoned, accept the things that he understands, to believe them, or he can reject them. His intellect will cause him to do one or the other. This is a part of his intellect which must be touched in order to bring about salvation. That's why the gospel is aimed at it, in order to bring about that conclusion. The heart of man is also called emotion. It can despise, as we read in 2 Samuel 6, verse 16. It has desire. It can desire things, as Paul did that his brethren would be saved in Romans 10, verse 1. It loves, as Jesus said that we need to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul in Matthew 22, verse 37. And according to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it has the ability to trust, and it needs to put its trust in God. This embraces man's feelings, his sensibility, and his emotions. And so his emotions are also part of the equation that brings about a change in man's heart. So we see that man's heart is the center of his intellect. It's the center of his emotion. The heart also is a quality of man. It's called his will. And his will determines, in 1 Corinthians 7:37, he determines what direction and course he will pursue. It intends, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, it intends, it makes suggestions in what he should do. It purposes, as we read in Acts 11 verse 23, and it has the ability to bring us to the point of obedience when it obeys that which it determines, that's what which it intended, and the purpose for which he has believed, he then has the ability to obey. Man calls this quality the will or volition. We have the ability, we have the will to obey or to disobey. The hearing is the faculty of man that's called the conscience. The heart is the faculty that gives us conscience, which condemns or it condemns us not. 1 John 3:20 and 21. But the key here to our conscience is the scripture clearly teach that man, part of man which embraces the intellect, the emotion, the will, and the conscience is man's inner nature. That is the inner quality that exists with all of us. And so the heart of man is the part of man that has the intellect, that has emotion, that has will, and cultivates his conscience. And whatever he puts in that mind, whatever he examines, whatever he believes, whatever he will understand and purposes, and whatever he determines, that will come out in action. And so, we see that the center of man's being is the exercise of his heart. And so the gospel teaches, and we believe, that man cannot come to Christ unless that inner part of him, his heart, be changed. A change of heart is absolutely necessary according to the scriptures. A complete change is needed. No complete change is forthcoming until his whole heart has been touched. The evidence of that change. What is the evidence of that change? Well, you change it from evil thoughts to good thoughts, from wicked reasoning to good reasoning, from ignorance of God's word to knowledge of that word, from unbelief to belief, from despicableness to admiration, from the love of the world to the love of God, from unrighteous determinations to righteous determinations, from the love of the world to the love of the Lord, from leaving the trust in material things to put their total trust in God, from unholy purposes to holy purposes, from disobedience to complete obedience, from a condemning conscience to an approving one. How is that inward man changed? How is that change brought about? Intellect changed by evidence and testimony. This it controls the intellect of man. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of man. You weigh the evidence. You examine the testimony. One believes and accepts the evidence is true, it changes the sinner's desire from evil to the desire to do good things. The will is changed by motives produced by his faith. In Acts 22, verse 16, that's why Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the authority of Christ. You see, man's motives are changed and produced through his faith. An obedient heart is indispensable to man's salvation because he cannot obey God without it. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9, the Bible says that God is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, the scripture clearly teaches us, but God be thanked that though we were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of unrighteousness. You see, man's heart was touched, and he changed from being a slave of sin to being a slave of righteousness. The conscience is changed, having done that which is right. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, our obedience to Christ and our baptism into Christ is the answer of a pure, good conscience, according to 1 Peter 3, verse 21. The conscience does not hurt when one believes he has done wrong when he does not think he's done wrong. The Apostle Paul thought that in Acts 23, verse 1, that he led before God in all good conscience until he learned better. Until with his intellect and his emotion and his will, he learned that he was doing things that were contrary to God, and then he determined to do that which was right. This is why multitudes of men stay in sin. They do not accept their deeds and their lives as being evil or being disobedient to God. Therefore, they remain in their sin. Their heart is not touched. When man's intellect, his emotion, his will, and his conscience are changed, man's whole heart will undergo a change. Some speak of this as a heartfelt religion, better felt than told. I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I feel. All of these fall far short of the heart change that God demands and requires of all that come to him. None can be found acceptable to God unless this change occurs in their life. This is a complete change of total obedience to, not to men, but to God. And all men who come to Christ must undergo this change. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel and aim it at the heart of man so he can examine the evidence. He can look at the testimony. He can weigh it. He can determine whether it's true or whether it's false. And he can look at the eyewitness account. And he can look at the compiling of the totality of evidence that is given in the scripture and can look at that evidence, can weigh it, can balance it, and then he can arrive at a conclusion. He will either accept what he's heard, he will either see his true condition before God, and he will render obedience to Christ, or he will reject it, he will believe a lie, he will deceive himself, he will believe error that other religious people teach him, but he does that because he weighs the evidence and then he arrives at a conclusion. And so in closing this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I'm a member of the Lord's church is I went under a heart change because it is required and demanded by God. I must change my life, but I cannot change anything in my life until I believe the evidence, have believed the facts, believe the eyewitness counts, weigh that testimony, and then react by obedience or rejection. Which will it be for you, dear listener? Will your heart be changed or will it be hardened because you do not want to leave sin but want to remain in it? That's a decision your heart must make for itself. Thank you for listening. And again, we invite you to our meeting this week and we hope you have a wonderful and blessed day. Come and be with us.